Earlier this week, China was in the news yet again, talking about imports and exports. And Kim, the tariffs have moved into other agricultural commodities too. Let's just dive in. Where are we?
I don't think much has changed over the last week. Maybe with the devaluation of the yen, that might have some impact. But if you look at wheat, on the average, China imports about 127 million bushels of wheat a year. And you know, that's just a little bit more than Oklahoma's wheat crop. Of that 127 million, only 38 million come from the United States. That's about 30% of China's imports. But on the 18-19 marketing year for wheat, zero wheat was imported from the U.S. to China. And so you went from 30% to zero, which sounds like a lot, but you went from 38 million bushels to nothing. If you look at corn, they import about 144 million bushels. 23 million bushels from the United States. That's about 16%. Sounds significant, but 23 million bushels when over a 14 billion bushel crop. Give me a break here. So we went from 16% to zero, or 23 million to zero. Mm-hmm. Soybeans, now this is a little more important.
Right.
3.2 billion bushels is what they normally import. 1.1 billion from the United States, or 34%. Last year it was 528 million bushels, or about half of normal, and about 17%. So soybeans is significant, and I think it can have an impact on that. If you're looking at cotton, they import about 5.9 million bales of cotton from the United States, about 1.8 million bales. About 30% of China's cotton imports has been from the United States. It was down to 15% this last year, or 1,347,000 bales.
So that's a lot of commodities that have the potential of not going to that market. Are there markets out there that are interested in the commodities that we have?
I mean, besides China,
right,
you
right.
bet you. Our beans are going to other states. What's happening is China's buying essentially all of Brazilian exported beans. That brings other countries into the United States. Has the China deal impacted the prices? Yeah, it's impacted wheat prices a little bit. It's impacted corn prices a little bit, probably, and soybeans and cotton more, because we're moving less cotton there. We're picking up other markets, but not enough to make up of the total loss of China imports from the United States.
All of this is happening while the price of wheat across the U.S. is not what we want, and then producers are thinking about the next year's crop in there. Where should all this wheat go that we have right now, if it's not going to China, if it's not going to other markets, where can it go?
Well, right now, if you look at the quality of our wheat, we've got still millions of bushels of wheat under tarp. That's, you know, the 15, 16 crops that's feed wheat. Mm-hmm. We need to move it in the feed market. Our wheat in Oklahoma this year averaged 11.3% protein. That means a lot of this crop needs to go into the feed market. We either need to export it as feed, or we need to feed it into our feed mills,
right,
or our livestock feedlots.
Last week after we talked, I got to thinking, you talked about the protein here in Oklahoma. Was that number that you gave, was that just Oklahoma wheat? Was that the U.S. wheat? Was it Texas and Kansas in there too?
Well, about 11.3%. I think that picks up Oklahoma, Texas, and Kansas, or at least southern part of Kansas. Ironically, the further north the hard red winter harvest went, the lower the protein went, because we watched that overall average decline. So the further north you go, the lower the protein. And often, you know, we'll import protein wheat from Kansas, bring down, blend it in with the Oklahoma wheat, and move it on out into the export market. I don't think we'll be able to do that this year.
Well, you kind of mentioned where I was going with this next one. We've been into a pinch like this before with low proteins and the world markets where they are. Are we going back down a path, say, that we've been in a couple of years ago as far as prices?
Oh, yeah, as far as prices go, we've been in, you can go back to the 80s, you can go back to other, you know, the 08, 09, 10 marketing years. We had relatively low prices then because we had relatively poor quality product.
Right.
We worked through that. We'll work through this. However, I think we're going to have a more difficult time, because you've got increased production in the Black Sea region and other importing countries, what we used to call third world countries. Their economies have improved. improved. They're improving a better product now, or producing a better product of wheat, and they're importing less. Now, overall imports are going up, but still, that market is saturated right now. So I think we're going to have a harder time working our way out of this situation than we have had in the past. We're going to have to depend on the weather. You know, Luther Tweeden told me back in the early 80s, Kim, you know, policy comes, policy goes, but weather is going to determine your price, and weather will pull us out of this mess.
Last week you said if you can't produce wheat for $5, you might ought to look at another crop for winter crop. What other markets are there for commodities out there that we can plant over the winter?
Well, that's a tough question because, you know, cotton, they were looking at cotton. Cotton prices are down below 50 in some areas. You've got the corn prices are in the tank. Soybean prices are in the tank. Sorghum prices are in the tank. You've got sesame and canola prices are relative, you know, they're in the tank. Mm-hmm. So there's just not a lot out there to, you know, go into. You can go back, you know, 15, 20 years, we brought land out of pasture when we brought it into crop production. I think we may have to take some back the other way because you've got relatively good livestock prices and moving back in the direction that it was, you know, 20, 25 years ago, rather than raising wheat, corn, beans, or milo on it.
Okay, thank you very much, Kim Anderson, grain marketing specialist here at Oklahoma State University.